Thank you so much, my brother, and these numbers. And those numbers indicate the page number. If you use the Bible that is in the pew, you can find the page number right there. And that way, I want you to focus on the scripture and to see the law of God as it is. And because you, as our brother read, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing God's word. During this month of June, we are engaged in having some lessons from the book of Romans, one of the most precious books in the scripture concerning law. And we talk about Romans chapter 1, about the simple Christianity. We are called saints in the scripture. Saints, that's the word Paul used to describe all believers, regardless your race, your nation, your denomination. If you're a believer in Christ, God called you a saint. Then on chapter 6, we deal with the issue, who is your master? We were born to be mastered by somebody. Who dominates your life, Satan or God? There is no middle ground. Now today, I'd like to call your attention to these beautiful chapter 9 and chapter 10 on the book of Romans. And I want to address the issue, how far away is God? How far away is God? Well, let me give you two examples. If you go to the book of Psalms, in open your Bible in the book of Psalms chapter 14 and 13, we're going to have two typical examples that even though is 4,000 years ago, is still as fresh as can be. God has described these for us. In Psalm 14 and in verse 1, God deals with how far away is God for these people. Look at what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How far away it is? Well, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If there's no God, it's far away, all right? Can't find it, because you deliberately said, is no God. So that's why some people said, well, where is God? I said, well, first and most, you have to believe there is a God. Well, there is no God, but you cannot find it. If you cannot find something you believe is not. It's just simple like that. That kind of people. But sometimes, like Spurgeon in the 1800s said, Christians cannot find God. You're in Psalm 14? Look with me, Psalm 13, just one psalm before. This is a great man of God, David, king of Israel. And he's under what America will call today depression. All right? Look at what he says. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? How long will thou hide thy face from me? See, he pray and nothing answered. Have you done this? Pray, and no answer. You are on the same spot you were before. Look at verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He has some distress in his political arena that he cannot control the country. And he pray and no answer. And so where is God? I want to take hold of him. How far away is God sometimes in our life, don't we? We all have been under stress. One, the depression, American solution to a problem they don't know what it is, depression. How far away is God? Well, I start the service about 3 minutes early because I have a lot of Bible to read for you today to show you how close is God. How close is God? Let's move on to the book of Romans, our brother read, all right, in the New Testament. Romans chapter 9. Now, my first question to you is this. Is he far away from religious people? Because Romans chapter 9 is about religious people. It's about Israel. Israel is always the people of God. They are the people of God. Is he far away from them? Let's see. Let's look verse by verse. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. Who is a Christian, a Jew or a Gentile? Look at what the Bible said. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained it. Now, I want to change the word righteousness, because it's German, to the American word for righteousness, justification. Okay? To be right before a judge is to be justified. All right? In America, righteousness is a German word, so let's use the American word, all right? Said, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which follow not after justification, have attained it? Even the justification which is of faith. Who is a child of God? A Gentile or a Jewish person? And the Jewish people have a hard time to understand that the Gentiles can have God as well as they have. Because there was a time in history where they were the only one they had it. They didn't know that they were used of God so that everybody can know God. They didn't know that they were used as a channel so that when they know God, they bring that God to all the nations of the world. They didn't know that God was not selecting just one race among the others, was selecting one race to promote the presence of God among the races of the world. And so the Apostle Paul, a great theologian and a great philosopher, he said, what are we going to say? Who is a child of God, a Jew or a Gentile? And remember that word faith that he used over there. What is the key thought? Well, the key thought is right there in verse 31. But Israel, he said, which follow after the law of justification, have not obtained to the law of justification. Israel has a formality, and they have followed the formality of the law, and they are unjustified. Wow. It's like if you go to court and you follow the formality of the court, but you're still guilty. Wait a minute. I did all the paperwork that the lawyers told me. I follow the prosecutor things and so on. I have all the documentation here, but you're still guilty. And so he's saying, who is a Christian? Who is a child of God? A Jew who follows the formality or a Gentile who is ignorant of that formality? Well, here comes the thought of Paul, verse 32 and verse 33. Here is the key to be sure that you are close to God. Look at what he said. Wherefore? Because they sought it not. They are the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of law. There is no word, the law, word law. For they stumble at a stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion and a stumbling stone. That's Jesus, by the way. And a rock of offense. And whosoever believe on him, not on the law, on him shall not be ashamed. That's the key that Paul brings to Israel. That's the key thought. Israel have all the formality and all the pictures of that Christ of the scripture. When the Messiah came, they forgot about it. It's like you go to church and you follow, you sing in the choir, you follow, you read the Bible and all this, but you believe not in Christ. Just like that. Just the same. Don't blame the Jewish people. Let's blame ourselves too. It's like having a great knowledge of the scripture, a great knowledge of the law, knowing all the doctrines of the Bible, but your life is a failure before God because you're still guilty. The issue is not if you are a Protestant or a Roman Catholic. The issue is, are you guilty before God, yes or not? And if I want to be justified before God, what is it? What do I have to do? And so Paul deals with that issue. And he picks up a whole nation. And he says, here is the great nation. Follow the law and the law of the nation, everything up to date. But they believe not. And therefore, they are guilty. They are not Christian. I remember years ago when I asked somebody in the elevator, are you a Christian? He said, sir, and he took a baptism certificate. I remember he took it, he said, sir, here it is. Reverend so-and-so baptized me, and I'm a Christian. Now listen, that's not Christianity. You know that. I asked that person, if you get a fire in your house and the certificate get burned, are you a Christian or not? You know, you see, when you depend on temporary things, and we're talking about eternal things, it makes a big difference. And so the Apostle Paul is saying to Israel, you really are far away from God. And what is God's concern? Now go to chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, he called his Israelite. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, the nation of Israel, is that they might be saved, must be justified before God. I have a desire that they must be justified before God. God desires for Israel is to be justified before God. Now I want to teach you two little tricks. Greek words. In the original language that this Bible was written, there is a play on words. Let me show it to you. Somebody told me, he said, well, does God want people to be saved? Well, let's find out. First Timothy, let's go to there. First Timothy chapter 2, all right? Here is, it's not my opinion, it's the opinion of God that really counts. First Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read for you verse 1 to 4. And I'm going to explain those two Greek words, how are translated into the English language. Now, here it is. Now, remember Romans 10, 1. God's desire is for the Jewish people to be saved. And God doesn't hate Israel. Even Israel rejected God. God has not rejected them. God has offered to them today the Messiah, Jesus Christ. There is not limit for God until he comes again. Now, here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what God said. Paul said to his associate pastor, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that's petitions, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You got it? For all men, Jews and Gentiles. For kings and for all that are in authority. No distinction on political parties. You can pray for your president, even if you disagree with him. You can pray for him. All right? That we may lead a quiet in peaceful life, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, here comes the catch. Who will, now change that word will for desire. For who desire that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God. There are two words used in these. One of them is buloma, which is will. And thelema. And when God used the word desire, everything he desired, he conditioned. He desired you be saved, but you must believe in Jesus. When he said he will, done. He got a spark and the world came into existence. No conditions. He said, that was the, remember Genesis 1? That was the day, first day, second day, third day. God speaks and things happen. That's his will. But to come to the knowledge and be justified before God, he conditioned. He conditioned to only one thing, not to become a Catholic or a Protestant, to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and the one that he provided. And so how far away are the Jews or the Gentiles? Well, I see the problem in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 4. For both of them, look at what the Bible says in Romans 10, 4. For Christ is the end of law. It's not the law. Now, some people have made beautiful mistakes by thinking that Christ is the end of the Jewish law, so Christ has no authority on our law today. But thank God the original do not carry the word the, ho, in Greek. Do not carry that word. And so when you read it, you say, for Christ is the end of law. All the laws ending in Christ. Will it be not nice if the Congress of the United States will know that? that they cannot put laws on marriage that the Bible do not authorize. See, that's the problem. People say, well, we have too many Democrats. No, no, the problem is not Democrats or Republicans. The problem is the heart. The heart. America has grown so powerful and so beautiful because of the heart of so good many people before that now is enjoying the blessings of those people. But watch out how much God will tolerate it. And so you see here in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of law for justification to everyone that believes. There is no limitations. There is nothing that will stop. In other words, it is not religion, it is Christ that really makes the difference. So how far away are the Jewish people, say, from God? Well, as far away as Christ. If they say Christ is not the Messiah, Christ has not died for my sins, they are far away from God. They may be good people, they may be wonderful people, but they are far away from God because they have rejected the provision of God. So is he away from religious people? Yes, he's away from religious people. He's completely away. There is a Buddha chapel here in town in Morning Hill. I met the priest from China. And he met me and O. Henry. And he eats donuts like I do. The only thing is he eats two donuts, I eat only one. All right. Now here's what he told me. If you come to my chapel, Buddha will bless you. I said, no, Buddha will not bless me. I opened Jeremiah. What Jeremiah said, they have eyes, they cannot see, they have ears, they cannot hear, they have hands, they cannot touch, they have feet, they cannot walk. So I will stand in your chapel, you fill the chapel with all your Chinese people, and you teach me the Chinese word because I want to ask the Buddha to come up and shake my hand. Let's see if he can do it. He said, oh, you are ridiculous. No, I'm not ridiculous. Beloved of the Lord, that's religion for you. They teach you things you can see that our mind is so entangled in things of this world that even a child can say, no, that doesn't work. But we become older, we become intellectual, we become powerful, and then we are zero before God. The simplicity of God, we cannot understand it. We cannot understand it. Religion will not help you. I told you this story, and I tell you again. When my brother got married, I said, I pay the trip. You come to America with your girl. He married a Roman Catholic lady. Very rich family, famous in my land. So with Raquel, we don't have a house yet. We have an apartment. We give them our bedrooms as the honeymoon, and I took him around. So, but on Sunday, regardless where I am in America, I take the plane, I go back home. I have to be in my church. My pastor has to see me on the second pew. And it was. She was sick. Sick. I grew up with her. So she told me, said, Gabriel, I need to go to church. We went in church every Sunday. But she said, I need to go to church. I know what she means. She needs to go to the Roman Catholic Church. I said, well, in San Francisco, there are the cathedrals, and we go and see it. So we went in the afternoon. And nobody is there. She went, and her heart is like breathing. You know, those saints on the walls and so on. And there was a place for the offering. And she went and pulled a $100 bill. I'm talking the year 1960. A $100 bill and give it to the saints and so on. So when I saw that, I also went to the saint. I prayed and I took the $100 bill. There was nobody in church. I thought, oh, lo and behold, the priest is coming. And he said, what do you think you are doing? Oh, Father, I said, this is marvelous. My sister-in-law pray, and the saint told her to give $100. And when I pray, he said, get it. Now, how can he call the police on that? You see, we play with God, don't we? Don't play with God. The business of God is serious. When you die, there is a soul to give an accountability to the judge in heaven. And the only lawyer that he listens is Jesus Christ. The other has failed. All right?
How far away are religious people from God? Secondly, verses 5 to 13, is he far away from Christians? I see sometimes Christians who are so depressed, so out of business, that I wonder where is God in their life. Now let's look on it. Look at verse 5, Romans chapter 10, verse 5. No activity, but receptivity is required. Look at verse 5. Look at how simple it is. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that man which does those things shall, what? Live by them. Live by them. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a child of God, you live like a child of God. Now, let me show you in the book of James, in chapter 1, and in verse 22, how James put it. James chapter 1, in verse 22. Here's what James said to the people that were in Europe already. This letter was sent to the people, the Jews and the Gentiles who went away from Jerusalem. And look at what he says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you think that you're a Christian and you never practice the life of Christ in you, and you never have the Spirit of God speaking to you and moving you by the Spirit and the power of God, then I doubt if you are a Christian. Because a Christian is somebody who moves his life by the Spirit of God. Who moves, the Spirit of God speaks to you in prayer. The Spirit of God reveals to you things. The Spirit of God makes your life alive. And then you do not panic in spite of circumstances. Because we are not exempt from circumstances, all of us. In other words, God wants activity. But the activity of our life need to be changed to a receptivity of God. Some people like to do things like getting busy for God, and religious affairs will justify them before God. And it's not so. It's the believing of Christ Jesus and the practice of Christ Jesus. Then in verses 6 to 13 in Romans, going back to Romans chapter 10, he's going to reveal to Christians that what God wants is no effort but faith. Look at what he says. I go over the scripture with you. They are beautiful. Verse 6, but the justification which is of faith is speaking on this wise. Now he's going to explain a person who is justified by faith. Look at what he says. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? What is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Ah, he's saying, here is what God wants. He doesn't want my efforts to perform something. What he wants is to believe the word of God. The word that we preach. The word that we preach. God wants us to believe the word. It's not hard, though. It is hard to practice, I tell you. Because it's against our nature. But it's not hard. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow, that is outstanding. Today's lesson in Sunday school was spectacular. They brought to Jesus a coin and said, to whom we pay taxes? And Jesus said, give me that coin. And Jesus handled that coin in his hand and looked on it. He said, what's the image? It's like if you ask an American coin, the classic American coin in the whole world is a 1 cent gold with President Lincoln looking to the right. That's the only coin allow in America for a picture to look to the right. That means power. The other pictures look to the left, less power. But the power looks to the right, and that's the only coin in America. And if you're going to buy a coin that costs $1,000, 1 cent, American cents, in gold, in any foreign country, they want that collection of 1 cent looking to the right. And so God is looking into here and is saying, here is what it is. The secret is very simple. And Jesus was put in a corner by political people and religious people and said, how do we pay taxes? Jesus said, give me the coin. He looks at, who is this picture? He says, Caesar. And then he says something remarkable. He said, give to Caesar what belonged to Caesar and give to God what belonged to God. Now, what belonged to God? Look at here. Verse 9, the heart. Look at what it said. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, the real being, you, the real you, and believe in thy heart. Verse 10, for with the heart man believe unto justification, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentiles, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the Apostle Paul ends the argument with these people, with the Jewish people, is saying, there is no difference of race. There is no difference of nation. There is no difference of religion. The key is your heart. When you empty your life in Christ, that's what counts. When you bring that to God and say, I believe in you, then God says, I know it. See, the drama of your life, the crisis of your life can be solved in 1 second. When you turn your life and say, God, take me as I am. I'm a drug addict. I'm a doctor of medicine. Whatever you are, Lord, here is me. Take me. And God does, if you have Christ as your lawyer. If Christ is the one who comes in and said, I die for him. I shed my blood on him. I justify him. Then God never looks to you. He looks then to Christ and then looks to you. It's just remarkable. Too simple to believe it. So now I have the consequences to share with you. Because of this teaching, the apostle then, after he presented the teaching, it is not religion, it is Christ. It is not mentally, it is the heart practice. I know when a believer comes to believe because he practiced. And so then he said, because of this, now we people in Rome, the 16 churches were in Rome. Have you read chapter 16? There were 16 churches in Rome, tiny churches, 10 people, 12 people, 15 people in each church, in the homes. And he said, because of this, he said, I'm going to give you some recommendations to the church. So I have preached to all of you. Now I preach to our church. Here is our recommendations, verse by verse. Verse 14, Romans 10, verse 14. We need preachers to preach. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A church needs a preacher. The church doesn't need a professor. The church doesn't need a man eloquent and all. The church needs a preacher. The word preacher is the word, the one who proclaimed. Let me show it to you. Let's go to Titus here in the back. And again, the page number is right there beside you. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. And look what the scripture said. Titus chapter 1. In verse 3, Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul writing to his disciple Titus, he said, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Titus 1, 3. Had manifested his word through preaching. The word of God comes to you through the preaching. That's why you attend church. That's why you come to church, so that you can hear the preacher. That's why the preacher cannot use any other book except the Bible, because God said the people sitting and listening to you need to hear the word. Preaching, all right? We need preachers to preach. Not to tell stories, but to preach. when he preaches to declare the word of God, going back to Romans chapter 10, the first thing, therefore, because Christ is the center of your life, because Christ is that justification of your life, because Christ will bring you closer to God, then we need preachers to tell it. Number two, we need missionaries. Look at verse 15, Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? If you go in our hallway here, you have the pictures of all our missionaries. They cost money. Yes, sir. We are not the only supporter of those missionaries. They are all there. We support the institution they belong to, and the institution support them. And many churches associated with that association support these missionaries. And they are sent out. Each one is different. One teaches in a college. The other, like Danny, goes into a car race and pray and visit these. And Martha goes and visit all the drug addicts and have a Bible class with the drug addicts over there. I've been in those things. I've been in Spain with our brother there and see what he's doing. It's amazing how different one field is from the other. But the principle is the same. They want to share the word of God. So Paul said, we need a missionary. A church without a missionary is not fulfilling what God is telling. All right? We need the word to be preached. Look at verse 16 and 17 in Romans 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God, or the word of Christ, some other manuscript has. That's Christ is God, so this makes no difference. So you see it here, the thing that will get you to get closer to God is this book. Is this book. That's why Satan took the book out of the school. I'm amazed. I read the Bible, and I don't know how many schools in Nicaragua in 1982. Commander Ortega at that time told me, if this Bible is true, you go and read it in all the schools. And Raquel, I went in all the schools. You know, Ortega is tiny little like this, just shorter, very short. And I met him eye to eye with Raquel. So he gave the arm to Raquel. So you go forward. I go with your wife. I like your wife at my side, he said. And he sit down and listen. And I read the book of Psalms. And 3 hours went by and I'm still reading. You know, people had never heard the word. He said, can we have Bible? I remember I called the radio station and said, we need Bibles. How many you want? 20,000. And the 20,000 Bibles were placed in Managua, Nicaragua. And I and Raquel had the blessing of handling the Bible to these young people who will read it for the first time. Why I'm doing that? Because that's what they said. Faith comes by hearing. See, you have to believe the scripture. You come to church, you have the Bible, you close it, and buy. No, you believe the scripture. Anything happen, you go in the scripture and say, what should I do? And the Bible tells you what to do. So Paul is saying, we need preachers to preach, we need missionaries to preach, we need the word of God to be preached, and we need to keep on preaching. Look at verse 18 to the end. But I said the Apostle Paul, have they no heart? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto all the end of the world. Have the Jewish people never heard this? No, they have great preachers. They have Isaiah. They have Ezekiel. They have Daniel. Come on, they have those people. But I say, verse 19, did not Israel know? Sometimes when I get Christians so down, I say, but don't you know the word of God? You don't need medicine to calm you down. You need to believe to calm you down. First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by then there are no people. And by foolish nations, I will anger you. That's very typical of Jewish people. I was teaching Greek language in one place, and there was a Jewish person who was a believer in Christ teaching Hebrew. And each time I have an hour and a half drinking coffee with him, an argument that he was better than me because he was a Jew. I told him, first, you are a little half my size. Secondly, I said, what makes the difference? Who is better to whom? And he will go in the Hebrew language and so all the things that Israel had. Indeed, Israel was blessed. When you talk to a Jewish person and they talk honestly about what Israel had, Israel has a boy, a one-to-one with God. When God spoke to Moses, when God said to Moses, move, and God put a cloud, man, that's being close to God, don't we? That is close. You and I pray in the morning, don't know what's going on, but Israel don't have to pray. The cloud moved, Moses said, hey, everybody up, get your enchiladas and go, and we all go in. And when they stop, what about the enemy? God put the fire on it. Around. Now, this is not stories. This is reality. Israel was close to God as can be. They were so close and so blessed that they thought they were number one. And each time we Christians think we're number one, we lose it. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not myself. It is Christ in us. And so we need this in verse 19. He said, look at what they have. He said, God will provoke you to jealous. And they are jealous that you believe. I know this man is a believer in Christ, but he said, do you bring a lamb to your church? No, for the Lord's Supper? No, it's gone. He said, no, but just to be sure, he said. See, it's hard to let it go, that pride that comes into our life, come to all of us, Jews and Gentiles. Somebody told me on the street, I'm a fundamental Baptist. He said, what that mean? Well, I'm fundamental. What that mean? What means? Where is in the scripture you read fundamental Baptist? My friend, we need to keep on preaching. Now, look at verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Remember Isaiah said, Lord, he prayed, just kill me because nobody listened. He said, yeah, they will listen. We do. And Isaiah at times, nobody listened. The guy died and was no one converted. But how many people have found the Lord through Isaiah? God said, no, don't worry. You just leave. I know what I'm doing. So, the great question for you today. This is all the theology of Romans. Israel was far away from God. Anyone who believed not is far away from God. And so the question to us today is this. How far away are you from God? How far away are you from God? So I wrote a letter to maybe 100 people asking the question, how far away are you from God? And I sent it out to many countries. I'm a man who had the blessing to visit more than 40 countries in my life. So I have friends all over, and I sent the letter. And the letter of a child came back and said, Pastor, I'm very lucky. I am only 3 blocks away from God. That's what my church is. Sounds ridiculous. Sounds a child, maybe 4 or 5 years old or 6. But that's the picture of many today. Let me show you what the scripture said in Hebrews to show you how far away you are from God. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible really relates to us this remarkable emphasis of how far away am I from God. Verse 15 in Hebrews chapter 3. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. God is talking about the Jewish people. And look at what he says in verse 18 and 19. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? They believe not. So we see, he said, that they could not enter. They cannot find God because of what? Because of unbelief. Not because you're Spanish or because you are any nation that you belong to or any race you belong to. That's not the reason you don't find God. The reason we don't find God is because we believe not in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I want to ask you this straightforward question. If you had never believed in Christ Jesus as your Lord, would you believe it today and raise your hand and say, Pastor, I believe it. I don't want to pass one more moment without being away from God. Will you do that? If you are listening to me, will you call the church office and send a good offering because you are happy? Yeah, that's the first thing. When you love, you know, when you said to a girl, remember when you were a boyfriend, so I love you, and you just pull a big present. If you date a Spanish girl, you don't say just love and don't give a present. The girl says goodbye. You need to bring presents on. Well, that's what love is. God gave us His. God loved us and He gave us His own. So, man, if you're going to say, young people, you're going to say, I love you, you should be loaded. Listen, will you say, Lord, this is my first time in my life. I believe. I believe that Christ Jesus is God and He saved me. And He entered in my heart. I believe that He is my justification. And from now on, I depend on Him. Is anybody? Lord, thank you for the blessings of preaching your word. There is no mysteries in your word. It's so clear. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. Makes that simplicity difficult for people to believe. Most of us want to do things in order to be saved, but you just move that away. And I pray, Lord, for those Christians who are feeling far away from God, that they will return to the simplicity of Christ. Go to Christ and pray to them, Lord, bring me close back to you. Give me the strength of Christ. Give me the wisdom of Christ. Give me the power of Christ. Oh God, bless us with the Christianity who is Christian. The most difficult part of a pastor is to make of a so-called Christian a Christian. And so, Father, help us not to be just so-called Christian. Help us to be Christian Christians. That we really believe and that the Spirit of God really move us. Thank you for the counsel of the Apostle Paul. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Highest mountains turn to ashes. If the mighty rivers should run dry, should sun and moon grow dim, I still will trust in Him. He's watching from above. I'm ready. from his heart and heals my soul. In spite of who I am, he loves and makes me whole. I almost can't believe it's true, unfailing love, and yet I know. He gave his life to give to me, unfailing love. I almost can't believe it's true, unfailing love, and yet I know he gave his life to give to me, unfailing love. Unfailing love.
The only sad about this is that this girl in 1 month go to Georgia for her internship. But you become better and better each day. That is wonderful. And no wonder when she was born, I told her grandma, she is the best. All right. We have the padlock luncheon, and you are invited. Even you don't brought anything, just eat less. But just come in. Be with us and enjoy with us together. All right? Let's stand for the benediction. Lord, we love you. We love you with all our hearts and all our mind. And we pray that as we are able to understand you, we may respond with our life. Cause us to believe in you and to follow you in such a way that Christianity becomes real to our life. And for those who believe not yet, Lord, talk to them. Show them in the scripture the value of our great lawyer, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.